It's good to be here this morning. It's good to see everyone. I hope that you will stick around for our fellowship meal after service this morning. I want to thank those who brought things and who prepared things and who make it all possible for us to enjoy this meal. Oftentimes we just get straight to the food and we don't always say thanks for the ones who put the hard work into it. So we want to thank you for making it possible for us today to do what we're about to do. I want to take a moment to encourage you to be thinking of questions that you might have that you'd like to be addressed from the pulpit. Got used to preach at Henderson, now lives in Texas, did a series of lessons based off of questions that the church submitted, and I thought that was a great idea. And so what I want to do as I plan for next year is to incorporate that into our service. If you got questions about a specific topic, questions about a specific thing that you'd like for me to address, then I'd love to have that question. So I'll be thinking about things we can do. I may have a box in the back, or I may just give you an email address that you can send them to. But just be thinking about questions that you would like to see us talk about. Right now, pretty much the lessons from week to week come out of my brain. So it's whatever I want to talk about. So maybe you think of something better. So if you've got something that you want to address or you'd like for us to address, please be thinking about that in the next few weeks. I guess I don't even have to say this, but students and teachers are getting ready to go back to school. It's that time again. It's hard to believe that summer is already over with, but this week will basically end the summer vacation for our students. Our teachers have already had that vacation brought to an end. What does that bring to mind? We're reminded homework begins, and ultimately grades start coming out. Ultimately, we start getting graded. We start getting our report cards. And the report cards are a reflection and a measure of a student's progress and effort. What do the report cards tell us? Tell us how much effort we're putting in. It tells us how we're doing. Shows where we need to improve and what we need to do better. What if God gave us report cards? What if God could give us spiritual report cards? Remember when we were in elementary school, it was pretty simple. You know, when you were in kindergarten, it wasn't A's, B's, and C's. It was satisfactory, unsatisfactory, need to work on this. You know, what if God could give us spiritual report cards that tell us these things? Wouldn't that be nice? Well, in fact, He did do that in Scripture. Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 and keep them open there. That's where we will be today. We're going to do some reading in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. You know, the book of Revelation is written to the seven churches of Asia. Many people are misunderstood about that, but the book itself is written to those seven churches of Asia. And before the main part of the revelation is revealed, God sends a message to each one of these churches. We've got seven churches, we've got seven messages, and essentially, they're just seven report cards. Here's how you're doing. Here's things that are going well, or here's things that are not going so well, things we need to work on. And so there's seven different messages we receive here. The first message is to the church in Ephesus. It says there in verse 2, of chapter 2, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you're enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. So, here's the high marks for Ephesus. They're patient, they endure, they won't bear with those who are evil, they won't bear false teachers. All good things. If you're looking at a report card, you would put those at the top. Those are high marks. But unfortunately, you see verse 4, but I have this against you, that you've abandoned the love you had at first. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Here they were. They were doing kind of specifically things they needed to do. But spiritually, they had kind of lost the love they had for God, lost the love they had for being a Christian. They had lost the feeling, the emotion, the heart of what they were doing. They were all about the truth, all about not tolerating evil and not tolerating false teaching. But when it came to the love that they had abandoned that. And so their low marks are that they had left their first love. Christianity wasn't as exciting as it used to be. It didn't mean as much to them. They didn't get the feeling from being a Christian that they ought to. The joy that comes from knowing who we are. So in Ephesus, you have high marks for their intolerance of evil, for their lack of putting up with false teaching, their patience, their endurance, but their low marks were they just left their first love. And so they needed to repair that and re-engage and do the works they did at first. The second church we read about is found there in verse 9 of chapter 2, and it's Smyrna. Smyrna, verse 9 says, I know your tribulation, your poverty, but you are rich, and the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested for 10 days. You will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Very famous verse from the book of Revelation right there. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Here's Smyrna. Their high marks are, they're rich, they're wealthy. But it's not in terms of physical things. They're poor. They live in poverty. They're not in the best of situations. If we had to choose, we wouldn't choose their situation. But they don't look at their current state. They look at who they are and their spiritual state. And they're rich. They have spiritual blessings beyond measure. And they hold to those spiritual blessings. Even though they're poor and persecuted, they rise and enjoy their spiritual blessings. Notice this. No low marks. Smyrna got no marks for things they needed to improve on or change. He didn't have anything against them. So when you look at this, you look at Smyrna and you say, that's a pretty good report card. The third church is Pergamum. Found in verse 13 of chapter 2. He says, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, yet you hold fast my name and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. Pergamum was a place, was a center of idol worship. Lots of influences, lots of opportunities to fall astray, lots of opportunities to do things they shouldn't do, or to worship things and to get mixed up in worship that was not correct. They had high marks for holding fast, even when you have the death of one of their people. Antipas was killed for the cause of Christ, and it could have caused some to fall away, but it didn't. They held fast to the name. So there's your good scores. Verse 14, though. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel so that they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. So also, you have some who hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Therefore, repent. Now, here you've got a church that stays faithful to Jesus even in the face of opposition. They don't deny Jesus. They won't fall away from Him. But they also won't allow, or they allow this false teaching. They won't put it down. They won't let it go away. They won't shut it down. But they let this false teaching go on. And as long as the false teaching goes on, what it says here is you're putting a stumbling block. You're causing people to stumble. You're causing people to fall away. So you got some high marks for their faithfulness, but then you've got some low marks because they're holding to this false teaching, not letting it go. Very similar to them is the church of Thyatira, which is found in verse 18. And if you look at verse 19, he says, I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. A lot like Pergamum, you've got the church of Thyatira, who has some good things. Their work, their love, their faith, their service, their patient endurance. And that their works, unlike the Ephesians, that their works are greater now than they were. You know, the Ephesians had lost their first love and they needed to go back and re-engage. Thyatira, their works are exceeding that what they were at the first. But much like Pergamum, the false teaching has crept in and they've allowed it to grow. They've allowed it to sustain, and they've led people astray. And as a result, people are losing out and getting lost because they're buying into things that aren't true. So you've got some good things, but you've also got some bad things. Then you turn over to chapter 3, and you have the church at Sardis. The church at Sardis. Verse 1, in toward the middle, it says, I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Now, drop down to verse 4. Yet you still have a few names in Sardis, people who have not sold their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. All right, so what you have here is you have a church that has a reputation for being alive, but in truth, the message of God is, you're dead. It's pretty interesting to think about. They got a reputation for being alive. Other people may look at them and see some things, but the truth is, they're not alive at all. There's some hollowness in what they do. They put on a good show, but in their hearts, they're not who they should be. He says, wake up and strengthen what remains. And you kind of sort of get a little bit of a good mark, but it's not for everyone. He says here, you have a few names in Sardis that have not sold their garments and that walk worthy. Sardis has got some work to do. If you're a parent and the report card comes home like this, you're having some discussions with a kid about we need to fix some things. Because this isn't a good one. This is mostly bad. Then you've got the church in Philadelphia who stands in direct contrast to Sardis. The church at Philadelphia in chapter 3, verse 7, and then you look at verse 8. I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you've kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. If you got to get a message from God, if you had a report card and God was going to give you one, I think you would like for it to say this. I'm going to put a door in front of you and it's open to me. And no one can shut it. Essentially, there's nothing negative here. There's no, but I have this against you. There's no, you need to work on this or you need to fix this. It's, you're faithful. You're steadfast. You're righteous. In the face of opposition, you still stand up and do what's right. Even though you have but little power, they are very strong. And they live faithful. The last church that's mentioned, the last report card that's given out, is probably the most famous one. The one we talk about the most is the church at Laodicea, found in verse 14. If you look at verse 15, it says, I know your works, you're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I'm rich, I've prospered, and I need nothing. Not realizing that you're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. The church at Laodicea receives no high marks. Not even a few. No high marks. This is a failing grade. Notice the reason for the failing grade, though. Laodicea fails because they won't make a decision. They want to be the best of everything. They want the best that the world has to offer, and they want what Jesus has to offer. And so they find themselves somewhere in the middle of being committed fully to God and not being committed at all. They're trying to toe a line. And God is very plain about what He thinks. This cannot be tolerated. He says, I will spit you out of my mouth. Imagine this week you're out in the sun. It's 100 degrees. You've been outside for a while and you come inside and you open the fridge and you grab a bottle of water. You open that water and it's not cold. It's about as warm as it was outside. Or at least it feels that way when the water's not cold. How does that taste? How does that feel? Ugh. We don't like it, do we? Notice what God says. I'd rather you choose to fully reject me than to just sort of, kind of want me in your life. That was the message to the church at Laodicea. This week in our devotionals, we're going to finish up the fruits of the Spirit today and tomorrow. But the rest of the week, we're going to dig deeper into these. My hope and my prayer is that as you dig into these this week, that you'll read these and you'll think about these and give it some consideration. And kind of think about what it looks like to be like that in our day and time. You know, we see that some did good. Smyrna and Philadelphia had high marks with no low marks. You've got some that did so-so. Ephesus, Pergamon, Thyatira all had some high marks and some low marks. But then you get the last two, which is Sardis and Laodicea, who did not do well at all. Sardis had a few people that were doing what's right, but mostly they got low marks, and Laodicea got all low marks. Those were those report cards. As you think about that, what do you think your report card would say? If God could give us one, what would it tell us? What would it say to us? You know, notice that in every instance, the message to the churches began with the saying, I know. All seven churches. God says, I know. I know your works. I know who you are. Nothing escapes. Nothing escapes God. He knows exactly who we are. He knows exactly where we are. We can't do with Him what the church at Sardis had done, which is put forward a reputation of being alive and we're not. God knows. Nothing escapes His eyes. And also notice the reward for faithfulness. For those who are doing what's right, for those who were patiently enduring, doesn't mean they're perfect, doesn't mean they always get it right, but it means they're committed. They're faithful. They're giving their lives to Christ. Notice the message to them versus those who needed to repent. It's okay to put up with a little false teaching, they thought. We don't always have to be committed, they may have said. But the message to God was repent. And yet it would do us good to consider where we might receive high marks and where we might be failing. You know, I think if God were to give me a report card, I think I'd have some low marks. I think I'd have some things I could be better at. I could do better. Hopefully I'd have some good high marks. But you know, that's kind of life, isn't it? That's kind of the struggle, and that's why it's important to read these and understand how important it is to be faithful. You look at the two churches that were bragged on. The two churches that only received high marks, and both of them were in situations that were difficult, that were hard. They were poor. They were persecuted. They had no power. And yet, they were the ones of all that really clung to the gospel. As we look at these things, it's important to kind of digest, and that's what we can do this week in our devotion, is just take stock, take an inventory. Where are we? And as we look at this list of things, are there things that we can be or do and improve upon? Our report card is a reflection of our commitment. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes we take a class and it's not as hard as we think it is. Math is my subject, but English is not. I don't have to work as hard at math, but English, I was always lost. But in truth, the harder subjects reflect our commitment. We all have things we're good at, and we probably all got things we need to work on. But we need to realize what's at stake. That's the message that God gave to these churches. Realize what's at stake. Each message contained, either a reward or maybe an admonishment on what they need to be. And what was at stake was the outcome of their lives, their souls. And for us spiritually with a report card, that's what's at stake. We're reminded of Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." Report cards. It's important for us to take inventory and take stock and see where we are. To work for those high marks. And to commit ourselves to the cause of Christ. Because when we commit ourselves to Him, He fills up where we're lacking. He helps us. And in the end, He will save us. If you're here this morning and you've never named the name of Christ, we would encourage you to do that. In order to receive the high marks, in order to hear the phrase, "Well done, good and faithful servant," we have to give ourselves to Him. If you've heard the message, believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess that He is the Son of God. And be buried with Him in baptism. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not happy with the report card and you feel like some things need to change. Maybe some of those things need to be, you need public prayers for. Understand that God loves you. And that in each of these cases, they had opportunities. Even the church at Laodicea that God said, "I want to spit you out," had the opportunity to make it right. Had the opportunity to improve. Today's our opportunity. We need to change something to do so. If you have a need today, won't you come as we stand and sing? We will follow.